Father, may you help us just to be able to worship even as we hear your word today. Lord, as we talk about prayer and relationship and the role that that plays and the importance and the priority that that is for you, Father, may you take and just ignite our hearts again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good for me to be back from vacation and to be back in the book of Ephesians. I just love the section, as I mentioned earlier, the section that we're entering into, just dealing with prayer. You know, all relationships change over the years, right? They evolve. They either grow or they stagnate. Or sometimes, unfortunately, they fade or they just even disintegrate. And those are tragedies, right? But relationships change over the years. And this is especially true, I have found, in my relationship with my Father, with God. My relationship with God has changed a lot over the years. This is a familiar pattern and expectation within Scripture, be it you're reading 1 John 2, where he talks about how we're in the childhood of the faith, and then we go into the young man of the faith, the warrior space, or then we go into the fatherhood space. Relationships change. And we have tried as a church historically to try to map that out and to try to identify the various stages, especially through the Middle Ages. They put a lot of work into that as the mystics. Just trying to understand, we know this changes, but what does it look like? I'm in kind of a simple form, a simple mindset personally. When I first came to know Christ as a young teen, I was captivated by this one thought. And some of you know my background, and so you know why this was important to me as a young man. But God cared about me. The creator of the universe, the one who flung the stars into space, but not only that, but just he named them, he cares about me. He cares about you. That was my first understanding of what relationship with my Father looked like. This relationship has gone in my life through a lot of different stages, and it defines what I mean by stage is it defines how I relate with him. In my early years, I was in the God stage. I called him God all the time. I said, "Dear God, dear Lord," sort of those terms that define his authority. Those are the terms that defined his authority, his role in the universe, and his role in my life. But even as God and as Lord, I still had this great awareness that this entity, this being, this creator of all that is, he cared about me. And I loved that about him. But I related it to him with him as in terms of his authority in life and in the universe and in my life. But then 27 years ago, I started another stage in my relationship with God began to evolve. It began to redefine how I relate to him, not just in terms of God and Lord and in his role as an authority. But it's what I call the Father stage. And it was a very simple stage for me. I remember I was sitting in church and I did listen. And the pastor was speaking in Moreno Valley, California about just God as Father. And I sat with him in his office one day. I said, I have no concept of what that looks like. Because my dad, he can't be like my dad was. That can't be who he is like. And so I have this vacant space in terms of understanding of how if he is my father, how do I even relate to him? And John Winger looked at me and he says, Martin, go back to the Gospels and just begin to read again and again and again about Jesus and realize that that's what God is like. That's what Father is like. And so I did that, and that's when I really started to enter into the fatherhood stage. In terms of that defining how I related to him. But that focus changed from authority, and he was always an authority, but changed from how I relate to him as an authority to how I relate to him in a relationship. And I wanted this, and I wrestled with trying to understand it. But over time, it began to develop. And then about 15 years ago, I was praying for my sons. And I could tell you exactly where it was. And I could tell you where the sun was, because it was shining into the room. And I was laying on a futon in the back room. And I was praying for them. I don't remember why I was praying for them, but I knew that my heart was just crying out to God on behalf of them. It's not like they were in trouble or anything else, but I was just trying to communicate to God. My father said, "Father, you know, this is what I long for. This is what I'm praying for on their behalf as their father." And I was trying to relate a father's heart to God. And God, it's like God said to me, "Martin, I get it. I get it because I am a father. And the way in which you feel about your kids and how you want to relate to them is the way I feel about you and how I want to relate with you." And it was like, wow. The light bulb comes on. He understands. He understands my heart as a father, and he wants me, as a result of that, to understand his heart as a father and how he relates to me, because they're corresponding together. And I remember I went out to the table that evening and had dinner. I started talking to the boys about this, and they're like, "Oh, Dad, you know, you're getting weird and preachy on us." But I was excited about it. That this is how he wants to relate to me. This is how he wants me to relate to him in the same way I want to relate to my kids. As a father. And so I kind of leaned into that over the years. But then something new started to develop. A new way in which to relate to God who is Father. It's what I call the Papa stage. So you have the God stage in my life, you have the Father stage in my life, and now you have kind of the Papa stage. And it's the one that brings me to tears the most. I remember I was on the park playground with my grandkids up in Linden, and I was just relishing just the relationship that we had. And I thought, man, this is amazing. I am so glad I'm not their parents. I don't have to do any of the hard stuff. I don't have to discipline them. I don't have to say no to them. In my more carnal side, I can just say yes to them, give them all the treats they want. A couple weeks ago, Abigail went to Mama and said, "Mama, I don't think we need any treats today because Papa gave us a whole bunch yesterday." I thought, don't tell on me. This girl is far too honest for 7 years old. But my heart was full, and I was just thinking, boy, how I relate to them is amazing. How I long to be able to relate to them is amazing. And just the level of this Papa stage speaks to the relationship and its intimacy. It's intimate. Some of you may be thinking, "Martin, God doesn't ever call himself Papa in the New Testament." I know. This is my thing, all right? You can come up with whatever term you want. But the point is that the older we grow in the faith and the more we mature, we go through these stages. And they reflect different ways in which the Father wants to relate to us. And how He wants us to relate to Him. All that to say is this. Relationships evolve over time. Relationships evolve over time. And I love it. How has your relationship with God changed? If you were to look back over the stages of your life, and some of you are younger, and that's great, and you may not be able to identify some of these things, and that's all right, you'll get there. It'll happen if you pursue Him. But how has your relationship with your Father, with God, changed and evolved over time, and how you relate to Him and how He relates to you? I say that because it's important. It's important. There is more. There is more. If the relationship doesn't evolve and change and grow, it gets boring, right? Paul's statement in starting out this prayer is, there is more. Let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, and he's referring back to all that we said in the previous chapter of chapter 1. He says, God chose you. He predestined you in love, that you would be adopted. He's declared you. He sees you as holy and blameless. All of this amazing stuff. The Father planned it. Jesus executed it. He made it happen through redemption. And the Holy Spirit seals us in it. He guarantees its ultimate fulfillment. And Paul is just captured by all of this and says, this is who God is. And it's important that we understand that this is who our Father is. But he says, it's not just about knowing that. It's about being able to relate to Him. And he says, when it comes to how you relate to Him and how He wants to relate to you, there is more than what we've ever experienced before. For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I just want to pause there and say this. You cannot separate them. You cannot say you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet not love people. There's a disconnect there. And if one is true, so must be the other. If both are not true, at least in increasing measure, there's something wrong on the vertical parts. Okay? That's all I want to say about that. But he says this in verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And here is what where it starts. He says, there's so much more to come. I keep asking over and over, again and again and again, is the idea in the original, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him what? Say it again. Better. I love hearing Don, but I love hearing you all also, all right? That you may know Him better. He's saying there's more. There is more. Now, just let's back up one step and ask this question. Based upon this prayer, what do we learn about the heart of our Father? What does this reveal about Him? Whenever we study the Bible, we always got to ask this question. What does this reveal about God? Second question is, what does this reveal about me? Third question is, what does this reveal about discipleship? Fourth is, what does this reveal about what's sabotaging in my life? Okay? That's extra. You don't have to pay for any of that. But what this reveals about the Father is this. I am relational, he's saying. God the Father is incredibly, incredibly relational. We are relational because we are made in His image. Because He is relational, we are relational. He says, I want you to get the correspondence here. I not only want you to relate well with one another, but I want you to relate well with me. I am a relational God. And I long to relate to you, not only in the role of authority, but in the role of Father. And if you're like me, you want to add another dimension to that, in the role of Papa. Okay? There is more, is what he is saying. He says, know me. Now, there are different ways of knowing. There's knowing about God, and that's what he has done. That's what he's like, his character and his glory and all of that. The facts about God, you can get that from a book. But what Paul is talking about, as important as that is that there's more beyond that in terms of knowing him. And there's knowing God intimately. This is sort of the marriage kind of idea. God gives us marriage as a picture of what the gospel is like and how he wants to relate to us and how he wants us to relate to him. That's the whole purpose of marriage. That's why we have marriage. That's the primary reason. Okay? You may scratch your head on that, but Ephesians 5 teaches that. Okay? It's very, very clear. Everything we experience here on earth is a picture, an echo of what more is to come. Okay, but there's this greater level of intimacy. It's the same way in which I can tell you about my wife. I can tell you about her likes and her dislikes. I can tell you about what she doesn't want me to do and what she does want me to do. She said last night there's this huge spider in the sink. She says, you need to take care of it, get a paper towel. I thought, I have a better idea. So I scooped it up, I put it in a cup, and I put it in the microwave. She says, you can't do that. I thought it was a great idea. She rescued the spider and then she killed it.
It doesn't make any sense, but that's okay.
You know, I can tell you that that's what she does. But even about that doesn't touch the level of intimacy that we share physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and relationally. That's the kind of relationship that the Father says, there is more. And even what we have now after 36 and a half years of marriage is what we had at the beginning pales in comparison to this, to what we enjoy now. God says there is more. Amen? There is more is what He's saying. He says, I am relational. He says, so pursue me. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a little while to be able to say, Father, this is what I want. I want more. Whatever the more is in the next stage of my life, I want more. Don't you say that? I love the verse that's kind of guided my journey through for the last 30 years is Psalm 27:8. When you said, Lord, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek, and I will do it persistently, and I'll do it resiliently, and I'll do it passionately. I will seek your face. But then in verse 8 or verse 9, he goes on to say, but do not hide your face from me. Why would he say that? Because sometimes that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. And we go through seasons where pursuing more will be incredibly challenging and frustrating. And we won't always understand it. In the same way that as a parent, my kids didn't always understand how I treated them or how I instructed them. I remember one time we were sitting in the living room and we were talking about a vocation for Nathan and what he wanted to go into. And, you know, he was 17 years old or something like that. I didn't ask permission if I could share this story, did I, Nathan? Oh, he's not here. Okay. Wide open opportunity. He's the one that chose not to come. All right. So we were sitting there on the couch and Jeremy was there and Wesley was there. And Nathan says was choosing a career field where he's going to make about 10 to 12 bucks an hour. I said, son, I said, that's not gonna be enough. You have to make some other choices. And Jeremy popped up. He was a few years older. He was about 23, 24 years old. And he says, no, Dad, you can live on $10 an hour. He says, no, son, you can't. He says, no, Dad, I have been. I says, you've been living in Colorado at your aunt and uncle's house, not paying any rent, and we've been paying for your cell phone and your insurance. You are not living on $10 an hour. He says, I am, and I can, and I'll prove it to you. And we got into an argument, and Nathan's just kind of sitting there quietly. And Kim's just saying, these are two bull elephants going at each other right now. Well, here's the thing. They didn't understand the heart of a father on behalf of a son. They didn't understand the realities that I was trying to move them into, and they were kicking against it. Just the same way that we do. As a resolution to that story, I was talking to my son about 2 weeks ago, Jeremy. He says, Dad, you were right. You cannot live on $10 an hour. He says, truth, son, truth. Yes. Vindicated. But sometimes we don't always understand what our Father is doing. It feels like He hides His face from us. But that's not the case. God is not that kind of a God. But in the pursuit of more, sometimes it will feel that way as God takes us through various valleys, various trials. He says, sometimes you're not going to like me very much. Sometimes you're going to kick against me. You're going to wonder where I am. But I am there because I am always with you. Amen? But pursuing more is frustrating. It is frustrating. It is. But it will require diligence in the face of obstacles and resilience in the face of disappointments. Because you go through these peaks and these valleys, I know I have. I love what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:12. We know it is the love chapter, but I love this verse right here. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror indirectly, in other words, in the idea, the original, it says it's dark, it's cloudy, it's ill-defined. You can see there's an image here, but it's like looking into a mirror that's fogged over slightly. We look into a mirror indirectly, but then we will see face to face. See who face to face? Jesus. When will that happen? When we are standing before Him. The whole idea of face-to-face speaks of relational intimacy. It's being able to sit there with someone across the table and right in front of you and just be able to see, I see who you are. It's not just seeing the person, but it speaks of relational intimacy. That's what he says, a time is coming when right now, God, it looks obscure and difficult to understand and kind of clouded over, and you think, yeah, there are times when you see it clear, but there are times when you scratch your head, and I'm just not quite so sure. The image is a little ill-defined in some of these areas. But God says, someday you will see me face to face, and nothing will be ill-defined at that point. You will see me for who you are, and you will be overwhelmed. We won't go into that meeting, oh, this will be nice, but we will go into that time when we will drop dead and we will say, wow, I can't imagine. I could not have ever imagined what this would be like. And it's a glorious thing. He goes on and he says, now I know in part in two-dimensional black and white. I know God in part in two-dimensional black and white, but then I will know fully, know what fully? My Father, my Papa, my God. Just as I have been known. What was this like? What might this be like? I love 2 Corinthians 12. Well, I think it's in verse 4 where Paul is talking about an out-of-body or an in-body experience he had. He says, I don't know what it was, but all I know is that I was transported to a place of that is inexpressible in terms of my capacity to understand it. Even if I could tell you about it, I can't tell you about it. It defies words and descriptions, and he's not talking about just the glories of heaven. He's talking about knowing Jesus, seeing Jesus face to face. There will be a time when there will be no ambiguity and there won't be no obscurity. There will be no cloudiness. And that will be the fulfillment of what we crave and what we most long for. That will be the final destination of the journey that we are all now on right now. But until then, there will be seasons that is frustrating. But there is more. But there is more. But until then, there is progressive, there is steady, there is unveiling, there is growth. If we understand that there is more. And we say, Father, you say, seek my face, so therefore I will seek your face. Pursuing more is frustrating, but pursuing more moves us. It moves us into humble submission and not simply compliance. It moves us into humble submission and not simply compliance. You know what the difference is? A friend of mine was telling me about this last week. Compliance is where we say, I will do what you want me to do if I get what I want out of it. If it takes me to the place where I really want to be. If it doesn't, then not so much. But I look at what someone asks me to do and I say, how does this fit with what I want? We oftentimes go to God and say, I will do what you say if it'll get me what I want. That's compliance. Humble submission says, regardless of what I get out of it, you are my Lord and my God, and I will follow you. If we're ever going to know more, that's the heart that we bring. Not just the hands that we bring, because Jesus doesn't want just our hands. He doesn't want just our obedience. He wants our heart that says, my Lord, my Father, my God, I will do this. And I don't always understand how this is going to get me to where I want to be. But what matters most is that I get to where you want me to be. Amen? Pursuing more requires humble submission and obedience. Not compliance. A lot of Christians are used to giving compliance. Used to giving compliance. Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And now here's the secret. Here's the reward. And I will show myself to him. That's the face-to-face. That's where we discover our Father in greater and greater ways. That's where we experience the more. But pursuing more also engages our heart in His mission. It engages our heart in His mission. What do I mean by that? We cannot be about our own lives, just doing our own thing, and disregard the mission of making disciples and making being disciples and making disciples among those who are not disciples. Jesus told the disciples, He says, you go and make disciples among all nations, even those places where you don't want to go. And I will be with you always. That's the promise, the condition of the promise of His presence with us. He says, I want you to make disciples among those who are not disciples. I want you to look for ways in which to be able to bless others. All these things that we've talked about for the last 9 months. I want you to look for ways in which you can be open-hearted towards people. I want you to look for ways in which you can eat with people. I want you to look for ways in which you can pray with people, pray for people. I want you to look for ways in which you can be salt and light and live out who we are with people who don't know Jesus. That's what He says I'm passionate about. He says, that's what I want you to be passionate about, Martin Schlomer. Church, He says, when our hearts are in alignment, He says, I'm all with you. I'm all over this with you. I am partner with you. I'm bringing the resources of heaven to earth to empower this journey, to empower this process, to empower this ministry, because I care about it, He says, and I want my people to care about it. If you want to be able to experience more, we got to buy into what He cares about. Amen. That's what we got to buy into. So pursuing more engages our heart in His mission, and pursuing more will take us through hardship. Sorry about that. It will take us through hardship. I love what Paul says in Philippians 4:11. He says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Now, how did he learn? He says, for I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. He says, I've been poor and I've been rich. I've had nothing and I've had everything. But I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This is what he learned. This is how he not just learned about God, but this is how he found his Father relating to him and doing with him and then partnering together. He says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Right? He says, God meets me in the midst of those challenges. I am with you. There is more. And we discover more even when we go through hardship and we submit to Him and say, God, Father, Papa, help me discover you in this. And how we relate. I want to abide. I want to press in. Now, why is hardship so important? Because it's through hardship that we discover more. We discover something greater. 2 Corinthians 12:8. He says, I've been through some really bad stuff. But God has said, my mercy is sufficient. His mercy, His presence, His abiding with Paul, the more. Paul discovered deeper and deeper, a deeper and deeper understanding of his Father, and he discovered deeper and deeper experiences with his Father. The more. I want to take a few moments this morning to invite gal who is newer to the body, Jean Patterson. So, Jean, why don't you come on up? I'm going to get you a place to sit because I know that'll probably be easier for you. Let me get you a mic. This is Larry's mic. Gene? Nope, it is all ready to go. You are being recorded. It'll be broadcast all over the internet. The whole world, even those in South Africa, can hear it if they want.
Just don't ask me to sing.
Gene, how long have you and Hank been attending Elam?
It's probably 6 months, a year.
About 6 months, a year. That long. Wow.
I don't know. The memory's not what it used to be.
That's true. I get it. I get it. You know, when I first met Jean, she's this woman who is strong and she is confident. And she is just a very, very confident woman. That's how I experienced her. But Jean, something happened a few months ago. And tell us what's taken place over the last few months.
Okay. Well, to start with, I put the A in a type A personality. I could do it. I was tough. I was strong. I get it done. My world shattered in June. I knew this was coming. Whether it was taking care of my family, promotions at work, finances, whatever, I could do it. In the middle of June, I really don't know what happened. It was a physical thing. I just started twitching and shaking and kind of looked like a seizure, but it wasn't. A bunch of medical testing, and I ended up being diagnosed with MS, with progressive MS. Really no treatment for it. So, of course, my first response, like everybody else's, was to stomp my foot. Say, no, you can't do this, God. I've been tough, I've been strong, and I've worked really hard for what I thought that I had earned. His response was, oh yeah, watch. And that, I was saved when I was 16. I joined the family of God then. But I don't think I knew who my Savior was till June, when he and I had a couple really good sit-down heart-to-hearts about what was happening. It's kind of interesting that this message on relations, it hits so close to home. I knew him. I read the scriptures. I could quote, I taught Bible studies, I led women's studies. But boy, it was all about me. I was reading just this week, and even again this morning, in Romans, I think it's 12:2, be transformed. That's a command, folks. And if you're not listening, if you're not working, he'll get your attention. A few years ago, he took my eyesight. That's okay. Lost one eye. I got another one. I can do this. I'm tough. I'm strong. A couple of years later, he said, well, that didn't work. Let's try cancer. I'm tough. I'm strong. I can beat this. I did. He says, well, that's not working. So now my body shakes. My memory's shot. Introduce yourself to me. Next week, you'll do it again. That's okay. New friends every week, right?
Every week is a new experience with new friends.
Every week. What I have learned, the most important thing I have learned, is that he does care about me. And like any parent, will go to any extent to get your attention. Be transformed. Listen to him. Talk to him. And he is my papa. And I've had dreams, and some of it's the disease, some of it is, I'm sure, the Lord. And I'm running to him, and he's just got his arms out to give me a hug. It's been a rough road, but it's been the best road I've ever taken. All those times when I thought it was me, it wasn't me. It was the kindness of my husband, support of my family, and the love of Jesus Christ, who didn't give up on me. But you need to listen.
Amen. One day when I first approached you about speaking, it was the outcome of a quick conversation we had in the parking lot. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I loved what you said about your father. Do you remember that?
Sort of. I remember saying that my prayer life had exploded. I remember that thinking afterwards that I don't really pray as much as I used to. I talk constantly to God about everything, about the sunshine, about this crazy stray cat that showed up on my porch. His providence is everywhere in my life. From the fact that I can still sit up here and talk, walk, our finances, our everything, it's just, there's no real time for prayer anymore. It's a constant, ongoing conversation with my best friend.
Amen.
It's been awesome. I wish I would have known this. Well, just a couple years ago when I was 16.
She wanted to show the video by Mercy Me. What's it called?
It's a song called Dear Younger Me, and it's by a group called Mercy Me. And would I go back and change all the choices that I made in my life? Some of them not real good ones. Sometimes I think I wish I could, but other times I think they are the choices that brought me here today, now. To be who I am and to have the relationship with him. I'm sorry I'm so hard-headed that he had to get my attention this way. But I'm so grateful.
Amen. One of the things that you... Can I read what you wrote me the other day?
Absolutely.
I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and a light bulb moment came on. My story isn't about me. It is completely about him. His provision, his comfort, his peace, my surrender. One of the things that you had mentioned in that conversation in the parking lot, Jean, was I was always considered myself to be a Christian woman. But now I know my Father. And I love that. God's showing you the more.
I know that He loves me for me, warts and all.
Amen. Amen. That he does. Hank, why don't you stand up and come on up here? No? I won't make you do that. Actually, I'm going to ask you to speak. Hank's just a great friend, even though he rides a Harley.
It's a nice Harley.
Just a dear brother, and you know, there's a lot of question mark in their family, and just how things are always going to how things are going to work out. But here's the thing: the Father has it, and we don't know exactly what that means in terms of decisions and things like that. But regardless of what it is, His Father's with him. And I just want to take this moment to pray for you guys. All right, Father, we love you, Papa. Lord, you want our hearts and you are committed to that because you are relational. And you not only want us to pursue you, but you want to pursue us. So, Father, I pray for both Hank and Jean that as they go through this next season of life and just dealing with this disease, Father, may the disease fade into the background. As they become clearer and clearer, more face to face with you. Father, I pray that we as a body would be able to walk well with them and that you would help us to be able to do that. So, Father, I thank you for the work that you've done in their lives and for the work that you are doing in ours. Empower them, Father, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jean.
Say one more thing.
You sure can.
This morning when I was praying and trying to be afraid to come up here, I had it's just kind of a silly thing, but I was thinking about caterpillars and butterflies and God's creation and wondering if a caterpillar would just be happier crawling around eating leaves. And yet they go into this cocoon, they go into a time when they really don't know what's happening to them. But on the other end, they fly.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jean.
Without a cane.
Without a cane. You will dance someday, girl. Yeah, folks, sometimes pursuing more will take us down the road of hardship. But the whole focus of James 1, as he said, that's because there's something greater to come out of it. And we may be like my sons and say, no, I don't understand. We may be even like David says, don't you dare hide your face from me. Why did he do that? Because it felt that way sometimes. But he is always going to meet us. He's always going to meet us. I want us to have a time of prayer this morning. Just because pursuing more means that we go through seasons of worry, we just examine ourselves and we come to grips with these things. And we make this prayer our own. Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know you better. And I've invited Cindy Waple to come and to lead us in that.
Thank you. Good morning. We do want to take some time to reflect and listen and pray. As a response to what Martin has shared this morning, but more importantly, as a response to perhaps what God has been speaking to you this morning, perhaps stirring as you're hearing Martin's words, as you heard Jean share, gosh, what an amazing story of what God's doing in her life. So I'm going to lead us through a time of reflective prayer, and I will invite you to times to just pause and reflect on some of the things I share with you. And so I just invite you to have a posture of prayer, just relax, bow your heads, close your eyes, put aside the distractions of the person next to you or going on, and just focus your heart and attention on God. Martin has described three stages of his relationship with God. He spoke of the earliest stage where God was God. He was getting to know God. And then as years later, his understanding and experience of God grew. He came to view God as his loving Father. And then continued to move into growing intimacy to where the Father God became his Papa. And so I invite you to reflect on your own relationship, your own experience of God. As you sit silently, think about how your relationship has changed and where it is. Is it growing and thriving and strong? Do you experience Him as God, as Father, as Papa? Perhaps there was a time when you viewed God as your Father, but over the years, life has caused that relationship to kind of be neglected. Maybe it's faded. Do you even have a relationship with God? I invite you to just take a few moments and just silently reflect on your relationship with God and your experience with Him. Next, I'd like to invite you to consider, what is your desire for your relationship with God? Do you desire more? to deepen and grow in intimacy with Him? Do you desire to experience God as Father, as Papa? Do you long for more of Him in your relationship? For some of us, if we're honest with God and ourselves, we have to confess that we're content where we are. Or maybe if we don't know Him, we may be okay with that as well. If you find you lack desire for God or for growth in your relationship with Him, would you silently share that now with Him? Even if you really don't have any desire for God right now, would you silently offer that up in prayer? Paul prayed for the Ephesians because he understood that to know God, to grow in relationship with God, to love God, to pursue Him is a gift. It is the grace of God that enables us to do that. So will you silently pray as Paul prayed, according to your own desire? And ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ask Him for spiritual insight so that you may know Him better. Father God, loving Lord, it is because of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we are able to pursue a relationship with you. You invite us. You pursue us because of your great love for us. May we respond by loving and pursuing you. May we respond by desiring you above all else. May our heart's cry be to know you as our loving and compassionate Papa. It is in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would like to talk with someone about your relationship, I encourage you to reach out to someone you know in the church. To Pastor Martin, Pastor Brian, to myself, to anyone. Our relationship with God is individual, but we live it out with one another. We encourage one another. We love one another by sharing what God is doing in our hearts, even our struggles, even when we have to admit, I haven't really been spending much time. I haven't really been desiring Him. So I encourage you as the community of faith here at Elam to make a point to talk with someone. What's going on in your relationship and what's your desire with God? Thank you.
You know, there's more, folks. There's more. And that journey towards more, pursuing more, is challenging, it's frustrating, it will lead us through hardship, it calls us to engage in His mission, all of that. But it's worth it. It's worth it. But pursuing more must be a community priority. And this is a theme you will hear more from me in the near future, and that is my goal and our heart is to be able to send everyone out of here on Sunday mornings ready for the week, filled with hopefulness, filled with strength, so you can thrive where you live. Be it at the job, as moms, as dads, in your neighborhood, because it's regardless of the circumstances, it is possible to thrive. And that thriving will look different in different seasons, but it is possible because there's more. I put some questions on your outline, and they should, would you bring them up here, Connor? It was the last slide of my sermon, but here are some questions I would really like you to talk about with others, okay? Be it your Paul, your Timothy, your Barnabas, in your community, your small group, community group, women's group, or mentoring group, wherever it is you are. But go through these questions and ask this question. How is your relationship with God? How you experienced Him changed over the years? Because there are those who are younger in the faith need to know how those who are older in the faith have made it. What means has He used to grow you in this relationship? And are there specific experiences that you can share and the lessons that you've learned? And what advice would you give to those who are early in their journey? It's important for us. It's not an option for us as a community to be pursuing more. That's all I care about. More than buildings, more than money, more than anything, is are we as a community of faith pursuing more so we might be thriving as disciples who are then full and able to go be disciples who make disciples among those who are not. Amen.